everyone to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council. We will check for apologies first off. Lisa?
Had apologies from Councillor Joy Whipps, Councillor Brewster Sarum, Councillor David Poor and Councillor Lynn Elson. Councillor Steve Gazzard.
Thank you. In which case we'll move straight to the public forum. We have a speaker who wants to speak today, Jeff Skinner. I believe he wants to speak on one of the items later on.
Yes, I'd like to speak about item 7 on the agenda regarding the WPSPO, and I'm speaking for the Exmouth Community Association. Firstly, we're not anti-dogs. We have no problem with dogs being kept under control. So, generally, I think this proposal is quite confused, and it's difficult to see exactly what's going to be achieved by it. The current dog current allowance for dogs on the leash is very generous to two areas during the winter, or during the summer at each end of the esplanade, and across the whole of the beach in the winter. And if one compares that with what's allowed on the continent, where dogs are totally excluded generally, I think the dog owners here get a pretty good deal already. The proposal to allow dog owners to use the beach from 6 p.m. to 10 a.m. during the summer, we find very difficult to accept. We think it will just muddy the waters. I think it'll lead to more confusion as to what is and what isn't allowed. Even now, we know that dogs are frequently seen on the beach in the summer when they shouldn't be. Enforcement is always a problem, and I think one has to accept that however many enforcement officers you've got, you will never have total enforcement. So it has to depend on some pretty clear rules being in place. Now, the suggestion that dogs should not have to be on leads anywhere and rely on the legislation to control things is difficult to understand. Certainly, enforcement isn't going to be any easier with removing this requirement in the PSPO and just relying on the Act. And of course, linked to that is the proposal that dogs should be required to be on a lead on the esplanade. It just doesn't make sense that on one hand one relies on the Act, and then on the other area of the esplanade one relies on the PSPO. It just doesn't really add up. Just finally, this PSPO actually maintains the loophole that's existed for some years, in that it only applies down to the mean low water mark on seafront or on the beach, which leaves a gap between mean low water and the lowest astronomical tide, which we understand has been exploited in the past by dog owners who want to walk their dogs along the margins of the beach. Mean low water, the line, is just an imaginary line along the beach, which no one can understand at all. The restriction should be down to the water's edge, which admittedly moves the whole time, but at least it's understandable. So, as an association, we do not support any relaxation in the requirements that exist at the moment. And we're quite happy with responsible dog owners, but unfortunately, there aren't enough of them. So, I suggest to Council that you reject most of these proposals. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. As you know, we're debating that item later on, so thank you very much. Okay, moving on to the council meeting minutes. To confirm and sign that they are correct records, do I have a proposer and seconder? Tim propose and Maddie second. All in favour? That is carried. Is that under matters arising? Yeah, if we move on to matters arising then.
Well, it was just really that I asked a question that was not being recorded, which was, will South West Water pay for medical expenses and damages caused to people swimming in sewage without being informed?
So, Mike, I did have a problem trying to transcribe the whole meeting. I had to listen to it for hours to try and transcribe it. So I focused the minutes on the questions that were submitted to South West Water in advance. There were parts of it where the recording is very weak and it's actually difficult. And unfortunately, your section was an area where the question that you were asking wasn't that clear for me to hear. There was also questions that Councillor Whipps, Councillor Alan Whipps asked that likewise weren't that audible. We didn't make enough notes on the night to be able to transcribe the meeting in its entirety. And actually, you know, it's arguable whether we needed to put that much level of detail in the minutes. I tried to put as much level of detail in as possible because I thought we owed it to the public to do so. But, you know, they're not an exact transcript of what happened. And I focused the minutes on the questions that were submitted in advance to South West Water. So apologies, there are a couple of supplementary questions that were raised. I think Councillor Ollie Davey raised a question as well, which I wasn't able to capture from the recording. And of course, on the night, I was quite busy reading the questions out and trying to keep track of that. So we didn't write all the responses down in full. The minutes actually are supposed to be a record of any legal decisions made of the council. And you'll know from our normal minutes that we don't normally record verbatim what councillors say because they're not records of decisions. That's not, you know, how we're taught to take minutes of meetings. But I tried to focus on the answers that Ian Hadvosper had given to the questions that were submitted in advance. So I hope that's satisfactory. I didn't pick that up on the recording, so I don't want to put something in the minutes that I haven't heard or recorded because it might be misleading. I'm not going to put that in, Mike. The minutes are my legal record of the meeting, and I'm happy with what I've put in there.
Councillor Bailey?
Thank you very much. Just a minor detail. There was a reference to being tinkered in the report.
No, that was a typo, Brian, that there were a number of typos that I picked up over the weekend when I reread them. You probably gathered from the time that the email was sent out that I was still working on them quite late on Friday, yes, because I was trying to capture as much information as possible from the recording. But there were a couple of typos. They've been corrected. And the... There were a couple, actually, quite entertaining typos in there. But they've been recirculated today.
Thank you. Are there any other matters arising from the meeting minutes? No?
I've been following on from Ian Foster's attendance meeting. I would like to say that I felt that he did not address the concerns that we had after the meeting. Sorry about that. After the meeting, he agreed to me to let me know, to write to me and explain why they're discharging sewage without informing the beach manager, without informing services against sewage for over 800 hours in 2021. I wrote to him and I've not had a reply. So, I mean, I just think that needs to be recorded.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike. Then we're on to declarations of pecuniary interests and dispensations. Does anyone have any such to declare? No?
I don't know if it's pertinent, but PSPO is about dogs. I've got two dogs.
Yes, Lisa, could you just confirm, do dog owners need to declare any interest in that item? Thank you, Fred, for clarifying that. I do appreciate it. And then item five is to resolve that the press and public be excluded, but I understand that there are no such items to exclude the press and public from. In which case, we move on to item six, and with your kind permission, we'll take County Councillor's report first, because Richard has, Councillor Scott has a meeting he needs to attend. So, Councillor Scott, County Councillor report.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you for allowing me to speak earlier, so he needs to go to Woodbury. I don't have a report, but just to clarify, your clerk is correct. Your meeting minutes are not verbatim, and they are generally only capturing themes of which council is named. Generally, only is when you're going to propose on the second. But I'm happy to take questions.
Councillor
Cahill. Thank you, Councillor Scott. These are questions, not relevant to your report, but am I allowed to ask these questions?
Yeah? Yes.
There's two things I'd like to bring up to the County Councillor. Now we have a CCTV camera monitoring the taxi rank, could we please ask the relevant committee at Devon County Council in the Hattock Highways to remark the taxi?
You want to ask your second question as well, please?
Yeah, I'll ask the second question, right. That's a different question, and that's to do with parking. It's become quite clear to me that X must pay parking 24/7, apart from Christmas Day, on Xmas seafront, on the highway part of the seafront. Yeah, it's seen, it's free all winter. Can we be told why that is the case? Because Exmouth public pay and Seat public don't.
Okay, so your second question, I don't have a direct answer for you. I would suggest it's down to the volume of vehicles, but I'll give you a written answer as to why Exmouth is charged for seekers. Personally, my view is that it generally will be down to how much people use the Esplanade. First question, it doesn't need any decisions in any committees. Lining is something the officers just deal with on a daily basis, and they generally dealt with on 3-year cycles. But if you tell them they're taxing that, please rewind and get sorted for you.
Just to clarify, I was told by a senior district councillor that he felt that it had been free for some 20 years, but I just find that incredible that Exmouth populace have been funding parking in Exmouth, yet the people in the seat haven't for 20 years during the winter months. Thank you.
So just to confirm on parking charges, they don't fund parking. The parking charges fund things like bus services. So all parking charges that are levied get put back into enforcement into new restrictions. Subsidising bus services. So generally I'd be in favour of parking charges if it allows us to run more buses.
Absolutely, and I'm totally in agreement with you, but let's keep a level playing field across East Devon, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Councillor Scott? Councillor Dumper.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, my just first question actually, I wanted to ask Richard whether he's got any further information on the levelling up bin? I doubt it, but just to ask.
Same answer as last time. Held it's a piece of string. So, I mean, I spoke to Simon about over the weekend. His view is we're likely going to hear something in December. Same with the officers, the DCC, early was December. However, we've got a budget coming. Next couple of weeks, so we need to see what's in that for us and where we go from there.
Final question, Tim?
Yeah. Second and final question, Richard. I know you and Jeff sent in a transcript of the October 31st changes to stagecoach buses, and I've done a bit of correspondence since then, and I just wondered whether whether you had had any complaints from Exmouth residents. I've seen one, and I know that there's quite a lot of disquiet about what's going on, and I wondered whether anybody to your knowledge, or you yourself, had taken any action with Stagecoach.
So I personally can't take action against Stagecoach. All I can do is lobby on behalf of the residents of this division, whether that be from the cabinet member or the officers responsible. The reality is Stagecoach is not performing. There's a lot of reasons why Stagecoach is not performing. Personally, I had a question of mindset in business in terms of what it sees its service provision is. You need to remember as well that the County Council is Stagecoach's largest customer. So the County Council is responsible for bus provision. Stagecoach is a private operator. The County Council funds from school buses. The County Council funds through subsidised bus services like the 99E. So there's a lot of things that Stagecoach need to get right in terms of their biggest customer, which is the County Council. They need to improve. I don't think I've seen the 57 run on time for months. If you're in Exeter, it's even worse. There's buses not turning up. There's buses late by a long way. They're not performing. The traffic commissioner is currently investigating them. They've had a lot of feedback. Your question about complaints. I get complaints all the time. We get complaints from around Devon, not just from around this division. But generally, they're not performing. And they need to.
Okay. Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, thank you very much. Richard Tim will know about this. We've been trying to get the buses parked in a safe and responsible place instead of right next door to the swimming pool. Under the Anti-Terrorism Act, buses are not supposed to be left for more than 15 minutes unattended. They're left there for sometimes occasionally hours at a time, regularly 45 minutes. And they're parked on double yellow lines. They've got no exemption apart from double yellow lines. Bus stop is a bus stop, it's not a parking bay. Tim and I have been hammering on this for years and years and years, and our response from Stagecoach has been zero. So I wonder if you can use your significant influence and give them a good kick up the backside and see if you can sort that person. Thank you very much.
So I don't kick anyone.
That's a part of his
meeting. I'm not allowed to. I'd appreciate if you could put that in writing with exact detail. You can put it into the officers and the cabinet member and get a response back for your proper detailed response. Anti-terrorism is not my bag. I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand what those rules are. In terms of parking on double yellow lines, same rules applies to buses, it does to cars. So if you can send it in writing to Jeff and I, we'll give you an answer.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, and last question for Richard before we let him go, Councillor Laura Bailey.
Thank you. It's to do with the Stagecoach. I'm noticing that they're using outside of Peacocks there, they're using the area there as a terminal. They're swapping their drivers over there. They're leaving the buses empty. They're leaving people queued up. I do use the buses, so, you know, I understand the frustration with it all. But they are using it as a terminal. They're swapping over their drivers there. I just wondered if that's the right thing to do. Thank you.
So just to clarify, is that the parade?
Yes.
Yeah. As you both can send the email from the same property, if you can add that on to Councillor Bailey's question as well. In relation to the buses parking the parade, we did increase the space that they had to stop them stacking over the crossing, because previously you'd have three buses and the third bus would be walking across. So I'm not 100% sure exactly why they're stacking swapping drivers. They should be stacking the big passengers up and moving on. But again, I'll give you a good answer.
Thank you very much, Richard, for your answers to our questions and for coming tonight.
Is that it?
I think that's it. Anything else can be submitted in writing, I'm sure.
Okay, if I just mention one last thing, some of you received an email reference posts at Windsor Square outside the police station. Jeff and I responded to the resident in question. We stopped that land up in 2019. So it's no longer County Council proper. There's a difference between County Council proper and highway maintained public expense, but it no longer is responsibility of the County Council. It now is private property that belongs to the police.
Okay, thank you very much.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah, Lisa?
Richard, can you confirm who put the bollards in then? Was it the police or did the county council put them in? Sorry, the county council applied the stopping up order.
We applied the stopping up order. Yep. To the
yep. So you don't know who's installed the bollards? No. Okay.
I suppose I can ask Sergeant Stormcliffe. I'm sure we'll get an answer pretty quick.
Or Inspector Weeks. Or Joe, did you have any further information?
Well, it sort of raised an issue that they just appeared and it's in the middle of the conservation area. It's more about, you know, how that happens without there being any you know, somebody can apply to, you know, to change the television area or the conservation area you need. So it's just about the process really and whether or not we should have mentioned.
So, Richard, Joe and I had exchanged some emails because I thought that that Devon County Council might have installed those bollards as Highways Authority under permitted development rights because it's land adjacent to the highway, used to be highway. If that's not the case, then it does raise the question whether in a conservation area there should have been permission for them because the Highways Authority would have permitted development rights, but I don't know that the police station would have permitted development rights. So,
to the best of my knowledge, they've not been installed by the county council.
Okay.
As I understand it, as I look at it, it's not on HMP. So it is on the land that's been stopped, which was in 2019. In terms of conservation area, I should imagine if it's going to be anything, so they don't understand what the rules are. Pretty much the same in Woodbury, pretty much the same in Livingston.
Yeah.
And we do see around the division at the minute, just as an aside, an awful lot of things being built that have not got permission.
Yeah. So I did find the records of the stopping up order going back to 2019, and I've shared that with Councillor Whibley, but it was just who had actually installed the bollards, but we'll do a bit more investigating. Thank you.
You'll probably see a lot more of this as well, where the authority doesn't need the land, we are going to give it away, because we don't have the maintenance liability for it.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
We move on to receive and consider reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, etc. So, Planning Committee, Councillor Whibley.
Yes, notes of meetings, the minutes of the meetings on the 30th of August, 26th of September, 10th and 24th of October, as attached.
Do we have a seconder? Councillor Toy? All in favour? Accepting those?
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Councillor Whibley. Town Clerk's report, Lisa, anything you wanted to say?
I think it's self-explanatory.
Or circulated separately.
And it has been circulated separately, unless anybody's got any specific questions. Okay. And Chetna's report. Chetna's on annual leave this week, but I think her report was self-explanatory as well. Unless anybody's got any questions that I can take back to her.
Councillor Ollie Davey?
It was for either of you, actually. What does CLCC stand for, the conference that you went to?
Society.
I couldn't find anybody actually told me about it. I can't.
So it's the SLCC is our professional body. It's the Society for Local Council Clerks. And we normally try and attend the national conference. It contributes towards our continuing professional development points that we need to maintain our general power competence status as a council. But this year the theme was climate change. So there were a number of talks and suggestions, you know, different themed talks and presentations around the issues of climate change. One of the most interesting was Eden Project Communities, which Zoe, probably now is a good time to introduce Zoe. Zoe Cooper, our climate officer, is here. Hopefully she'll get a chance to meet you all at the end of the meeting, but she's here observing tonight. But I've passed the details of the Eden Communities project on to Zoe, because that was quite inspirational. And the two keynote speakers, obviously Ben Fogel and Tanny Gray Thompson, were you know, very good as well. But there are always lots of workshops running simultaneously, so we try and split ourselves across them so we get the maximum value out of it. So, and then, you know, we bring it back and hopefully incorporate that into some of our working practices and pass it on through the working parties.
In that respect, Lisa, could we possibly ask you to give a little report back at the Climate and Emergency Working Party?
Yep, certainly. And some of the presentations from that conference I've already shared with Zoe, because we get given all the presentation packs afterwards, and there's some quite useful information in there. But yes, certainly, happy to do that.
Lovely segue to the Climate and Ecological Emergency Working Party, and a warm welcome to Zoe. Zoe written down here. Zoe, warm welcome to you, Zoe. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Just to say to note the notes from the last CEE Working Party, and if anybody's got any questions on those notes, I'll try and field them. And also, of course, say great welcome to you, Zoe. It's great to see you here now in your working capacity. Last time you were in an interview capacity, so great to have you. And it's been a long time before the interviews. There was a long process leading up to advertising the job and all the rest of it. So we're very, very pleased. Any questions?
No questions, in which case it's Colp and David isn't here, but Pauline, did you want to give me
a bit of a the meeting? So, do you want the notes of the meeting held on October the 3rd? Any questions?
Now we move on to community resilience. We do have a couple of items there that we do need to discuss and approve. So I shall hand over, I think it's Tony.
It is, thank you, Chair. The first item is to approve the revised emergency plan 1.9. What we've done is add in the circumstances. Started, we had a COVID expert mutual aid leaflet prepared. We envisaged something along the same line so our residents can have access to information about heating arrangements and also food and any other aspects of policy. We would ask for that recommendation to be ratified by council and also for the plan to be adopted version 1.9. But also
we take questions, and then I presume you're proposing, and we'll ask for a second after that.
Yes.
So, Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. Tony, I'd just like to know, I think it's a good idea, I'd just like to know how you're going to distribute. Are they going to be distributed via Royal Mail? Or?
I think Royal Mail would be expensive. We don't intend to pay for the distribution. We'd make them available as we did with the flood.
When you
change, make them available?
Well, they could be from the town hall. We could distribute through ourselves, whatever means, but not have a budget to do that. With the flood drainage, we went from door to door.
Just a thought, just one line on that.
Yeah.
Like, can we not take several hundred to the library, the hospital, various doctor surgeries, or public places, things like this?
All those good points.
And the maximum distribution, that's what I have in mind. I'm sure you'd like that one as well. Thank you for answering your question.
If Lisa can just reply and then we'll come to Maddie.
I was going to say, one option might be for you to consider a stand, you know, in the Strand, because we did that
I
with...
Sorry,
I stole your idea. No, but there is a precedent for us having a roadshow type event in the Strand when we distributed the flood resilience booklets. Yeah. So we could possibly do that, Councillor Bailey. Arrange, book the Strand for one day, and councillor could have a rotor and we could give them out. That might be one way.
We could all take a shift each or something.
Chetner will... if this is ratified, Chetner will pick this piece of work up when she gets back from annual leave. We've already got quite a lot of information from Churches Together. And the library, I know that the library are offering a warm spaces provision as well, and providing coats. So we'll try and expand on that information and put it all into one central document.
Councillor Chapman.
Yes, I was going to say exactly the same. And Lisa stole my thunder. And we did put it in the library. We did drop some off at schools, doctor surgeries, we dropped some off. And we handed some out to the Magnolia Centre. So we can get them out. But I think it's important that some people know where we're going and where to go if they've got a problem.
Thanks,
Anita.
You'll pass that information on to chat now.
Yep.
Okay. There's no more questions, do we have? That's Councillor Chapman to second. That's both proposals there. I presume that's okay.
So, fine.
So all in favour?
Carried.
Great. Thank you very much. Exmouth Transport Partnership, Tim, anything to say? We'll just have to take questions.
As you heard, I asked Richard Scott when he was here about the current stagecoach situation. We've had big changes to the local timetables from October the 31st, but as Richard himself said, stagecoach are, as he put it, not performing. They're certainly not providing the service they've got down in their timetables. And I know we can't do anything about this tonight because it's not an agenda item, but I would be proposing that when we next meet as the Exmouth Transport Partnership, we put together some kind of motion which we can present to Council in January or whenever it should be, to actually put it straight to Stagecoach that we expect them to provide the bus service they've said they will. You know, we've had excuses about COVID and various other things for quite long enough, and it's not really good enough. And that's really all I'd like to say. If there are any other questions on the notes, please ask.
No other questions? Okay,
Councillor
Chapman, anything to say? Thank you, Tim. Festival and Events Working Party, so Joy's given her apologies. Did anyone else want to speak to it? Otherwise, we can take as noted. Or any questions? Councillor Chapman?
In view of the notes, can I ask when the next HR meeting is so we can move forward?
Yeah. I haven't got a date, but it's on my list to coordinate with the HR group councillors in the next week or two.
Public rights of way is Councillor Desarum who also isn't here. Any comments or anyone want to say anything on that? Councillor Chapman?
Yes, on the public rights of way, up in Foxholes, there was a bench. And a family put a memorial on the bench, and I'm sure you've all seen it and heard of it. And there's quite a few around Exmouth where people go for a walk and, you know, if they need to sit down and take a breath of fresh air and look at the scenery, etc. And I think it's a nice thing to do. And I can't say I'm very happy with the extent, but then I never am, am I, Joe? And to say that, you know, they have to pay £1,800 to replace the bench because it's not fit to be repaired or something, I find that, quite outrageous. You know, you can go up to King's and they're not cheap, but you can get a bench for £800. You know, now I'm thinking, you know, why are we doing this, you know? And I just wonder what everyone else thought. I don't know if the town council should help people on memorial benches. I just think it's very sad if you've got a bench and it's for mum and dad, and people need a bench to sit on when you've climbed up that hill, I think, anyway. Yeah, well, you do as well. I just want to know what everyone else thinks, because I wasn't impressed.
I'm not entirely sure that we can really sort of get into it anyway, because it's not something that us as a council can influence. But as far as I'm led to believe, it's a good resolve.
I've read on the district council that it has been resolved.
And in terms of the cost, that's the cost for the bench, but it's also the cost for the next 10 years or so of sort of keeping it in order, recreate safety and things like that, and making sure that it is a good one, as far as I know.
I think it's probably outside the public rights of way remit as well, their group.
Yeah, but it is on the public right of way footpaths, you know. And I haven't heard anything through to say it's been resolved. I just think it's rather sad that it happened and upset the family so much. And I don't want to see it happen to someone else. So as long as everyone else is happy with it, that's fine.
Some lessons have been taken into account. Okay, so town maintenance overview working part, I don't think we have Ian. Any questions? No? And then waterfront working party, that's Pauline.
It was on October 18th, after all, it's my fault. But in actual fact, it didn't take place because unfortunately, just Eileen and myself joined up, and so it wasn't courage. So it was very sad, and I've got one to generate that. Yeah. Might get one this year, but I think. Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay, in which case, reports from members who represent the council and outside bodies, and I believe David Paul's attached to the meeting, and he's giving his apologies tonight. Any questions?
No, do you want me to do?
Oh yeah, what's that? That's what bodies.
That's Queen's Drive. Yeah, outside bodies. Yep.
Okay, if we just, I'll do that a sec. Dalk, Tim.
Yeah.
Come to the board.
Yes, Dalk. We've had a lot of Dalk activity with the conference, etc. And any questions to the report that was made, please let me have them. I'm going to. I think with Lisa going to the larger councils committee this week, so if there's anything to take back to Dalk at the moment, if people could let us know, please.
Councillor Davey.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. I noticed in the report Dalk has endorsed the 2020 campaign, and I've just wondered what form that takes. You know, how much support could we expect from them? Exactly. What did that mean that they were supporting?
I'm working from memory now, I'll be on that one.
single track lanes. Now, Summer Lane, of course, which is one of the areas in Exmouth which we've talked about, would qualify in that way. But 20's Plenty campaign is not being seen as 20's Plenty in every urban area, all over every urban area. This is something dealt with through the National Association, and they are lobbying strongly on this. So that's my understanding of where Dalcar, as far as the endorsement is concerned. Because I know that in Exmouth we've had discussions about putting, which you've taken part in, putting 20 mile an hour limit across the town. And, you know, as you know, Devon has had issues with that because they tried it with the scheme in Abbott, which took a long time to kick off. But once it did, and the consultation was in, then the people of Newton Abbott actually only wanted it in certain places. So, you know, Dalk hasn't endorsed a full rollout of 20 everywhere in urban areas. Is that an answer to your question?
Yes, it was just
an answer.
Yeah, how much support they were giving to that campaign. I think that the thing I saw about single track roads was actually recommending a 30 mile an hour limit on single track roads, which seemed to be a separate discussion from the 20s, 20s. But yeah,
Lisa,
but,
did you want to?
Yeah, just to say, my understanding was that it was going to go to NALC as a motion. So it may be that I can pick it up through the NALC correspondence. If there's any traction nationally or that I think is relevant to Exmouth, I'll circulate and let councillors know.
Thank you, Tim. Councillor Bain, you're going to update us on Queen's Drive placemaking.
Right, thank you, Chair. It was a funny meeting. There wasn't a lot sort of moved on, really. I'm getting a bit, I'm trying to get them to move on with things on the Queen's Drive, which is really hard going. Gerry got all the consultations together. We didn't really get a lot of what he's going to do with them. I don't actually know what he's going to do with them. What we did do, we voted for signage, which is by Queen's Drive behind Sideshore, somewhere around that area. They're on about putting signage there to tell people that if they can't park there, they can go off to Mayor Car Park or Foxhole's Car Park. So we're just waiting to see if we can get something there. I was going to say about the levelling up fund, Gerry did email me to tell me that he's had no news yet. And also, I've sent an email to Tim Childs, the officer at East Devon, regarding the postwatch tower, to ask him what's going on with the postwatch tower. Are we going to have a new one? Are they going to make it bigger? What are they going to do with it? So I'm waiting to hear back. And I'm afraid that's all that's happened. I have tried at the last meeting to ask them, we're supposed to be a delivery group, but at the moment we're not delivering anything, which I think is very frustrating. I did say to them it's been 10 years, and then Councillor Arnott from East Devon said it's only been 2 years with him being there, but that's not the point. The point is this has been going on a long time, and it needs to be sorted out. I'm doing my best with it, but I can honestly say it's really hard going. But I'm going to stick in there and hopefully get some sort of result. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Bailey. Okay, move on to District Council report. Thank you, Joe, very much for sending your report in advance. Do any other district councillors wish to say anything or ask any questions?
I've got a report from Councillor Desarum, which came in about 6 o'clock, which I will circulate separately.
Thank you, Lisa. Councillor David.
Yeah, I was just to say I didn't send one because I didn't think much had happened really since the last meeting. I didn't think I had an awful lot to add. But on outside bodies, I should just say the allotment committee, and I think this has been circulated by David Caller, they've got some work going on up there, which might cause some minor disruption. But I think most of the disruption is actually going to be to the allotment holders. site rather than the road outside. So I don't think there might be a little bit more construction traffic going along there, but it's for the adaptive beds that are being created up there.
Yeah, it's not an outside body. Councillor Cade, I think you want, although it's not strictly an outside body, I think you wanted to give an update on the CCTV.
Yeah, that's okay with you, Chair. Just to update the council about the CCTV, we've now finally got the three new posts installed, one outside what used to be Leonard's Bar, I forgot the name of it.
The Merchant.
That highlights the taxi rank for the safety of the taxi drivers, and the other two, one at Alexandra Terrace, so they're fully in, installed and fully functioning. We're just waiting for one camera to come back from the company because it's went away for a technical problem to be resolved. And then we will be handing over the monitoring or signing a contract with Torbay Council to monitor and look after our CCTV.
Thank you very much.
Can I
just say
something?
Oh, hang on. I saw Councillor start and then we'll come to you.
Oh,
that's okay,
sorry. Can I just show appreciation to Councillor Cade for all the work he's done on these CCTV cameras? Because it's a hell of a lot of work. People don't realise that he actually watches all the things that the police require. I'd like to thank you on behalf of the taxi drivers. They're very pleased indeed. Councillor Brian Bailey and myself go to the taxi when they have their meetings. We go to that. So they'll be very pleased that we're saying about it. And thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Stott, did you have something?
I was just going to give you an update on the beach wheelchairs now as closed down for the winter. And we will be opening again next spring. Lot of people are looking forward to next spring, including myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes,
Councillor Cahill?
It's a question really, Councillor Stock. We've still got many volunteers coming forward for next year, or is there a need for more volunteers?
There's always need for more volunteers, but we have two good ones. We have one very good one. But there's always need for more volunteers, because hopefully we'll be able to, you know, it's a longer season. Last time we only did about from the beginning of August to the end of October. Next year it will be sort of probably from April to October, so the more volunteers we have, the better it will be.
So if anybody knows of any volunteers coming forward, do they put it to you or through to the
I think okay. It's already out on Facebook about volunteers, and I think people now they've seen it's actually going, and they've seen what, you know, rewards it gives to the people that use the wheelchair, and I think we'll get more volunteers next year. Then a lot of people come back this year because they're not quite sure what it's about. I think now that you've seen them on the beach, they're allowed to come forward. Thank you.
Okay, in which case we move on to item number 7. So to consider and agree a response to public consultation for East Devon Public Space and Protection Orders, PSPOs, on which we've already heard a speaker today. I was just going to say it's quite a detailed piece of consultation, so it might well be that people submit their responses to Lisa separately after the meeting, but we obviously want people to have the opportunity to have their say as well now, so we'll take people's views from the floor. I think it was Councillor Cadiel first and then Councillor Chapman.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, as I said earlier, I do have some dogs, so I do spend quite a lot of time down the beach and the wet ground and the estuary and so on and so forth, and common walking my dogs in lots of different places to give them a variety. And I'm pleased to report that I am a responsible dog owner and always pick up after my dogs, and they're reasonably well disciplined. But I listened to Jeff's comments earlier. interest, because a lot of dog owners that I've met down on the seafront, early dawn, and that's usually between 6:30 and 8:30, 9 o'clock, a lot of them said to me, why can't we have dog walking at the times of early in the morning and later in the evening on the whole beach, as they do in other areas, specifically Cornwall. And this has obviously been put forward by who, I don't know, but it's obviously been put forward to East Devon District Council, and it's been considered, and it's been put forward on this PSPO consultation. Now, my personal view is that a lot of people walk their dogs early in the morning, and during the winter months, they can walk anywhere on the beach, at any time of the day or night, if they so wish to choose to do so. Now, this is very simply a summer months restriction or idea, is to provide the dog walkers with the whole of the beach between the hours of 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock, I understand, in the morning, so 6 o'clock from p.m. right down to 9 o'clock a.m. the following morning. And in my mind, if that was to happen, once the dogs leave the beach at 9 o'clock in the morning, the beach is then open for everybody else, the community, the tourists, people that want to throughout the summer months. Should anybody go on that beach with a dog, it's quite easy to spot. And any enforcement officers that we do have employed by the East Devon District Council and that are down there monitoring the dog issue, whether it's at Exmouth, Seaton, Beer, or wherever it may be, they will find it certainly a lot easier to spot someone with a dog on the beach. So I think, so do a lot of dog owners that I've spoken to think it's a good idea. And that's just something that's come to me as a councillor and a dog owner. I think it's a good idea, and so do quite a few dog owners that I've spoken to. The other aspect of the PSPO, and people, I think, are slightly, a little bit confused about walking your dog off the legal on the highway. I was a little bit confused about it, to be quite honest, but it seems that there is always legal legislation, which is it's crime enforced, because it's statute, and you shouldn't be walking the dog anywhere on the highway off a lead. It should be under proper control at all times, and that's the law. So why the district council, in their infinite wisdom, are trying to confuse the issue a little bit by saying that you could walk your dog off the lead on certain places. I find that a little bit confusing, and I don't quite understand why they've done that. But that's something I can carry forward with the consultation as a personal response to the town club. But in principle, I think the idea of between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock for walking onto the beach is a good one. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Cahill. We've got Councillor Chapman next.
Right. Well, I like what we've got already. And in the summer, when it's hot, a lot of families after work go down on the beach for tea and swimming. And if you can walk the dogs in the morning on the beach, you can take them up on the common or some of the fields like Fred does with this too in the afternoon. But in the evening, in the summer, when it's hot, and this past summer it has been very hot in the evenings, lots of people were down there swimming, dads playing football and having picnics. We really don't want dog walkers down there in the summer. Early evening when it's hot, sunny, and everyone's enjoying themselves. This, you know, the way we got it at the moment, we we've had a lot of time and talked about it, you know, to try and accommodate everyone. And no, I don't agree with the summertime walking on the beach. Families are still using it. And with climate change, people are going to be using the beach more. And all we need is Southwest Water to sort their act out, and then we'll be hunky dory.
Thank you, Councillor Chapman. Next up, I've got Councillor Brian Toy.
Yes, I personally think dogs should be banned at the beach altogether during the summer at least. We've had this session with Southwest Water about how they cannot cope with sewage. With the best will in the world, dogs will leave something behind them, and that's all going to get washed into the sea, so it compounds the sewage problem. And also, I personally would like to see bring back the old dog license idea. That's a license that will make sure the dog is insured in case it attacks somebody, and you can take action against it for doing these sort of things. And that is actually the payment of the license. Help fund more monitoring of it. Our residents can't take a bother to come here and express his concerns, but I think he also get a good idea of what he can take back to his residents and what we generally think about this situation. But I would say at least during the whole of the summer, dogs should be banned from the beach.
Thank you, Councillor Toy. I've got Councillor Ollie Davey next.
Thank you. Yeah, I've actually sent in a representation on this today because I noticed that the consultation is still live until the 20th. I thought, well, I need to say something about this. My favourite part of the beach is Orcombe Point, and it is my family's as well. And they come down from Bristol, we often head down there. Endless problems with dogs there. I cannot begin to tell you the problems we have had. Now, okay, it's only before 9 o'clock and after six, but I totally agree with what Councillor Chapman said. After six in the evening, the thought of people down there having barbecues, picnics, swimming, playing football, and dogs running around, I just don't think it's going to work. I think it's a recipe for chaos. I'm also concerned, particularly when people have more than one dog, how on earth do they know where they're doing their business on the beach? They just need a dog to kick a bit of sand over it, and they can't even find it, so they don't bother. And now comes a family, thinks there's a nice spot to sit, and what are they sitting on? So I really think this is a terrible idea. I have requested that at the very least, if the consultation goes the other way, and I do think those who have misgivings about this need to get the representation in, because I think the dog lobby, dare I say, are extremely vocal and well organised. And I'm really not a dog hater. I don't have a dog, but I'm not a dog hater, but I have just become exasperated with the issue, use the word advisedly, of dogs in this town, throughout, on the pavements, on the streets, it's just everywhere. And you can point a finger at a few irresponsible dog owners, but there are a large number of them. So I think this is a dreadful idea. At the very least, dogs should be on a lead, I think before 9, and definitely
Thank you,
Councillor Davey. Next, I've got Eileen. Councillor Beach. Thank you. Well, I strongly object to this change in the PSPO. I don't know if you're aware that only 27% of the population owned a dog, and that is from the PDSA, the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals. And yet, dogs are allowed on the beach for 7 months of the year. Complete access. the remaining population without a dog only have 5 months, and that seems to me grossly unfair. Exmouth prided itself, or prides itself, on being a family-friendly place to come, but the beach is not family-friendly when uncontrolled dogs roam freely. They interfere with children, they scare children, they defecate, they wee on people's belongings. I was down there a few weeks ago, my family decided to go into the sea, and I stood with their belongings, and this chap came along with this little dog who started sniffing around, so I shooed it away. And he says, "We aren't you in the sea?" I said, "No, I'm here preventing these clothes from being weed on." I mean, 30 years ago, my mum had the same problem in Dawlish when she went swimming, that she had put her stuff in a poly bag to stop dogs weeding on it. So then, dogs are a nuisance, they're unpredictable, they're dangerous and scary for children. Surely the whole day in the summer, in that 5 months, is not too much to us to have an area where dogs do not go. Changing the rules will be confusing for dog owners and non-dog owners, and I'm sure lead to more confrontation. Enforcement will be difficult, and if it's to be effective, you've got to have dog wardens down there at 9 o'clock, making sure the dogs have disappeared on their owners who don't control them. And in the evening, as well, and that's going to cost more money. The two dog owners we've got have to control the beaches on the rest of East Devon. So the amount of time they spend here. Also, they're going to change all the signage, and the signage is very small, very inadequate anyway. So all that's got to be changed, and it's going to be an additional cost for the taxpayer and East Devon, which I don't think they should be spending the money on. So I am totally, totally against this change. Thank you.
Thank you. I've got Councillor Tony Woodward next.
Just on the point of the Councillor Chapman made, in the evenings, in particular the summer that we had last year, it's quite, I went often up to 9 o'clock at night, even till it gets dark. So I don't think should be there in the evening in the summer. So I would be against that change to the present arrangement.
No sort of damage to the response.
Thank you, Tony. I think Pauline was next.
Thank you. Well, what Maddy said, I think from 6 o'clock to 9 gives people a chance to take the dogs. And while you're talking about dogs, you're worried about them. What about the horses that go on the seafront? They live a bigger dump. What the really dogs do, and they are on the seafront and they go down there regularly. They were on the seafront today, in fact. They do go down and they ride down there before, they're meant to do it before 10 o'clock in the morning, I think it is, and after 6 o'clock at night. That is the rules for the horses.
Yes.
Apparently, horse poo, because it's vegetarian based, is not toxic. Dog poo is very, very toxic. So that's why there isn't the same rules to do with horses.
But it can be if you step in it.
Well, you know, whatever. Yeah. Perhaps you ought to know where you're going. At least you can see it. I mean, as Maddy said, you know, whoever said, when you get sand kicked over dog poo, you can't see it. I've had grandchildren digging up, and they dig up a turd.
Words I'm not expecting in this council chamber tonight. I have to say. Right. So I've still got. Can I just take a check? I've still got Councillor Brian Bailey, Councillor Tim Dumper. Does anyone? We've got Mike Rossett as well. Is there anyone else? And that's Andrew Holman. Okay, and then I think I'll sum up, as it were. So, Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'd like to say at this juncture, I'm very pleased that Aura and I had our dinner early, driving too much, which I can't totally disagree with. The main problem with this, as always, is the lack of enforcement. And this is where the bottom line is, whatever the rules, I have a tendency to agree with Tony and others that in the evenings, there should be no dogs at all. They're not, if all the dog owners in Exmouth, at least they were as responsible as catching the paper with these dogs, we wouldn't have a problem. But unfortunately, they're not. And unless you have enforcement, unless you open the newspaper or go on the local Facebook, and you see five or six people being taken to court and fined for being irresponsible on the beach, that's the only way it will stop. East Devon are not prepared to put enough enforcement officers on. So, and it's rather pointless, I agree with you. I mean, it's going to cost thousands of games of size, the rules and regulations. So, unless you enforce it, it's just a waste of time. You just will leave it as it is. Get enforcement officers and hope they do something about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Dumper.
Yes, all I was going to say really is I agree with you, Chair, that we should be moving towards a resolution of this. One of the issues is, although I do agree the dog lobby is very strong, that there are often two opposed lobbies about this. And dogs are an important part of our society. But frankly, I think the balance around here would be better served by holding the line where we are. I wonder, actually, whether there is any scope for allowing winter swimmers to have an area where they can swim free of dogs, because they've had their clothes weed on and all sorts of other problems arising. So that's one for the future. But for the moment, I would very much support going on with the current situation.
Thank you. Councillor Mike Rosser.
We've had a number of people speaking against changing these rules. I'm just wondering, can we as a council put up a motion to say that the council is opposed to these changes?
Lisa, is that appropriate given the state of the consultation it is?
Yep. So I think it was difficult until we heard what councillors' views are, but I mean there seems to be a consensus that most people would like the current status quo to be maintained and are against the proposals. So there's two options. You can either vote as a council and I respond to the public space protection order as a corporate body, as a council. You can also respond individually. It's up to you, Chair, whether you think that the consensus is strong enough to form a proposal for a corporate response.
Well, let's just take Councillor Coleman, who hasn't spoken.
Right. As Richard second lot's been said already by a lot of people, I don't like sadly very much dogs might disappear from the beach after 9 o'clock, but what they leave behind is the problem, as far as I can see. So, at the very least, if they're going to do a proposal like this, I think dogs should be on the leash. There should be an assessment after a few months to see if there's any complaints. I certainly don't think dogs should be allowed to freely run around. I also think the notice system we've got now is not very good. I've had people come up to me and talk about this and ask, are dogs allowed on the beach? So a lot of visitors actually don't know the rules that exist now, so I think there isn't a case to get some more notice.
Rules aren't clearly signed.
Not a thing that changes. But I might support a compromise if it's a doctor's league. So.
I mean, they've asked us to, what if the actual asked is, Phil, let me just check what the actual wording was on the, I seem to have lost my agenda. What, the
actual wording was it for comments? What was the actual, sorry, Lisa?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got it to hand. It says, have your say on our review. If you wish to comment, please send your comments to as an email address. Any comments received after the consultation date may not be taken into account. Please note that all comments received will be published on our website and attributed to the person stroke organisation that submitted them. By submitting your comments, you are agreeing to your comments and information being used in this way, which is why if we're commenting as a corporate body, there needs to be a consensus amongst members.
By consensus, what do you determine that to be, Lisa?
There needs to be a majority.
A majority vote. Yeah. Okay. I mean, my own view is, as a dog owner, I am a dog owner, so I do have my own views on this. I can, listening to what everyone said, I do take the point on board, certainly in the evening, because I've been with my own dogs when there's food on the beach, and it's very difficult as a responsible owner to control them. I personally think the morning session is a good idea, but I also can tell there's not a lot of support for that. So if whatever I think it's fair that you do a motion based on how strong the feelings are, it seems to be the majority that's coming up with wording that you can agree with. Does anyone want to propose any wording? And Fred, we can have a say as well, can't we?
Yeah.
Fred, Councillor Cahill, do you want to?
Just to say that if someone is proposing a motion, I'd like it as a recorded vote.
I've got the paperwork.
Do we have to propose the recorded vote as well?
Yes.
Well, first of all, does anyone have a motion that they want to form? Councillor David, do you want to propose something?
Well, very simple. I just propose that we resist these changes. That we just don't want to see any change to the current arrangements on the grounds of cost and inconvenience to the public. And
I think given it's probably easiest to keep it that simple, I believe.
Status quo. Yes, to maintain the status quo.
Sorry, did you have a... Oh, okay. Councillor Ross to second. Okay. Have you got that wording, Lisa?
Yeah, and I've got the recording, so I can.
You've got that written motion. We have to approve the recorded vote motion. So, Councillor Cahill is proposing it's a recorded vote. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Chapman, all in favour? The recorded vote is carried. Okay. Abstain. Okay, Lisa, would you mind just reading out that the way you've worded it for the benefit of everyone? We have a proposer and a seconder.
So, Councillor Ollie Davey has proposed that we resist the changes and that no changes to the current arrangements are necessary on grounds of cost and inconvenience.
Inconvenience to the public. Now, can I change resist to oppose?
Councillor Bailey, do you have anything?
Thank you, Chair. Would it be possible to just put a sentence in saying that we would encourage more enforcement? Because there's a lack of enforcement. Whatever the rules and regulations do turn out to be, they need to be enforced. But at the moment, they're not. Thank you.
Is that part of the consultation, Lisa, around enforcement?
No.
Okay, I think we'll have to leave that out, Brian, as it's not part of what they've asked, but there's nothing to stop you submitting those views yourself. Councillor David, do you have a response to that?
Well, I was just going to suggest that as part of the motion, it's one of the grounds, because I think enforcement would be a problem.
So, okay, that sounds...
I think the clarity and the enforcement is going to be very difficult for people.
Okay. Right, Lisa, would you mind rereading the motion?
So is Councillor Bailey proposing to amend the motion of Councillor Davey?
Had it been that formally constituted at that point?
You haven't voted on it yet, so it's you're forming a proposal and Councillor Davey's amended the proposal before it's been voted on, so...
It's being done on the
So, Councillor Ollie Davey has proposed that we oppose the proposed changes to the PSPO, and that no changes to the current arrangements are necessary, and that's on grounds of cost and inconvenience, particular concerns around clarity and enforcement.
Yeah. And that is seconded by
Mike Rosser.
Mike Rosser. All in favour of that motion?
Yeah, we'll do that in a minute. We'll do that in a second. Let's just make sure we've got the motion correct, and then okay. Right.
Sorry, we're recording it. Do it slightly differently.
Yeah, So I will read out your names, and you can say whether you are in favour or against that motion, or if you are abstaining. Councillor Boatwright.
I'm in favour.
Councillor Aurora Bailey.
Abstaining.
Councillor Brian Bailey.
In favour.
Councillor Fred Cagill.
Against.
Councillor Maddie Chapman.
For.
Councillor Andrew Coleman.
In favour.
Councillor Frank Cullis.
In favour.
Councillor Ollie Davey.
In favour.
Councillor Bruce de Sarum's absent. Councillor Tim Dumper.
In favour.
Councillor Lynn Elson's absent. Councillor Steve Gazzard's absent. Councillor Eileen Beach.
In favour.
Councillor Ian Kervan is absent. Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
In favour.
Councillor David Poor is absent. Councillor Mike Rosser. Yes, in favour. Councillor Alex Sadiq.
Against.
Councillor Pauline Stott.
Against.
Councillor Andrew Toy.
In favour.
Councillor Brian Toy.
Abstain.
Councillor Joe Whibley.
In favour.
Councillor Alan Whipps.
In favour.
Councillor Joy Whipps is absent. Councillor Tony Woodward. Okay. Did I read everybody's name out? Have I missed anybody? No? Okay. So that's carried by a majority. Okay.
Thank you, everyone. I think that was a very good debate, and thank you for staying to the end. Okay. Moving on to item 8, to note the adoption by East End District Council of its community asset transfer procedure. Is there anyone to speak to this at all? No,
it's just for noting. councillors might want to know that I did ask Mark Williams if the town hall would qualify as a community asset transfer, but I was told that it wouldn't because it's associated with the provision of housing services. And you'll read in the community asset transfer policy that any assets that's associated with housing is excluded. But that's for noting.
Thank you. We note that. Thank you, Lisa. Number 9 is to pass a resolution to sign up to the Civility and Respect Pledge. Is anyone?
How do Councillor Dumper wants to speak?
Councillor Dumper.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, I'd just like to say that civility and respect is something that the National Association of Local Councils has been working hard on with a group of, volunteers, looking at it and consulting all over the country. It's not something that we have had a big issue with in Exmouth in recent years, with people shouting at one another, people being uncivil and disrespectful, but I'm afraid local government across the country has experienced a lot of this. People will remember the Jackie Weaver incident after which she became a national celebrity. So that kind of thing goes on around parish and town councils around the country. And the idea of supporting this is very much something that I think we across this level of local government should be doing. So I'm going to propose that we support that.
Thank you, Tim, and Councillor Wibberley to second. Does anyone have any comments before we vote? Councillor Toy.
Yeah, I mean, all in favour. The problem is how you actually define these definitions of these terms. And sometimes it's a bit in the eye of whoever is chairman or somebody else who might be monitoring this sort of situation. I certainly think that we need this sort of thing applied nationally too, don't we? It's been going on this tendency for people to abuse each other verbally at the council meetings. It's been going on for donkey's years, and it seems to be getting worse.
We have Councillor Mike Rossner.
The principles in the documents are obviously right, but I was just thinking it's extremely lengthy and repetitive, and that's.
Joe, did you have something?
Well, I was just going to say, there have been incidents in this council, not necessarily even in meetings, where unfortunately certain members on occasion haven't been that, haven't necessarily lived up to civility and respect. And I do think there's a fair amount of common sense. So regardless of what the documents are, I think anything which we can do to show that we understand for that sort of thing, I think is something really useful.
Councillor Scott?
Surely we have the standards committee for this. So if somebody is uncivil to somebody in a meeting, then they go before the standards, and the standards committee are the people that deal with it. And so, to be quite honest, I don't know why we need another tier to go above it, because the standards committee deal with all these sort of things. I mean, I've dealt with a lot of
Can I comment?
Yeah, Lisa?
Tim might be about to say the same thing, but I think it's felt across the sector that with the weakening of the sort of standards regime and the fact that there are now no sanctions, particularly for councillors, but this civility and respect applies to officers and councillors, but with the lack of sanctions, I think the introduction of this pledge is to try and make sure that any type of disrespect is called out at the time it happens. That councillors are encouraged to challenge poor behaviour in meetings. And it's aimed at addressing it at an earlier stage before it gets to that point where a standards hearing is necessary. And in the context of there being very few sanctions that can be applied, it's about, everybody pulling together to raise the standard of a council's performance and behaviour.
Yes, we have standards and we have code of conduct. Councillor Woodley is right. We have had problems in the past and we have dealt with them. But this is just another layer. It's a bit like a chocolate cake. It doesn't hurt, does it? Another layer.
On that note, I think we should go to the vote. Unless Brian, was it?
Just a quick one, Chair, if I may. As some of the members may be aware, I'm quite often complaining about people not putting their hands up, not being acknowledged by the Chair of the Park before they speak. It drives me around the twist, and has done for years. In Bundy Salton, which I served for 18 years, it never occurred at all. I may be suggesting that people in Bundy Salton are more polite than the people in Atherton, but I may not. So I appreciate that this evening it hasn't occurred once. I've been taking notice and I'm very pleased. And if we can do it for one night, we can do it for all the nights. Well, I'd just like to say that. Thank you, Chair.
Lovely. We have a proposal and a seconder. All in favour? The chocolate cake?
Yeah.
It's carried.
Wonderful.
It's not carried. I haven't got my hand up.
When I say carried, it means that the majority have voted. Yeah, I didn't say unanimous. I said it's carried.
Any opposed? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Finally, item number 10, to agree to adopt the Mock Tax Officer Protocol agreed by National Association of Local Councils, etc. Lisa, is that one of yours?
So it's another, as you know, that we're advised to have a number of policies in our toolkit that that enable us to deal with a whole range of issues that affect council business. And this is another model policy that councils are being encouraged to adopt to try and improve councillor-officer relationships. I don't think we have a problem with councillor-officer relationships in this council, but Chetner, as you know, experienced, you know, a fairly torrid time at her previous council where councillor-officer relationships were very poor. And this type of policy aims at giving you a framework to be able to escalate and deal with those matters before they get out of hand and people's mental health, etc., starts being affected. So it's
the previous layer of toxic.
No, so the previous item was a pledge to sign up to a civility and respect pledge. This is a specific councillor officer protocol that would be adopted as policy by the council.
Councillor Chapman.
Yes, I think if we could adopt this, it would be very helpful for any members on the HR committee. And we wouldn't have to seek legal advice because it would be on the policy. So it would be helpful to have.
Thank you. Councillor Bailey.
Right, as a person, I'm speaking personally, as a person who would treat everybody how I'd like to be treated, I have found, and I have not said anything because I didn't think it was right to say anything, but I'm going to say it now because I feel the need to say it, that since I came out of the politics of this council and gone independent, I do not feel, I feel different about it. I don't feel appreciated that I put a lot of time to this council behind the scenes. And I'm not saying that nobody else doesn't do it as well. I appreciate that. But I've gone independent for whatever reason it might be. But I'm still the same person that I got voted onto this council. And the code of conduct is your respect for everybody as well, which I've read. I've read all the standards. I know exactly how it works. Now, I don't want to go into any details, but I'm surprised this has come up tonight because we've got the code of conduct and the standards to do with the council, and you should respect each other, whatever your politics are. But I can honestly say, with my hand on my heart, that there's a lot of us here, and I feel we're not doing that. We might appear to be doing it at this meeting at the moment, but outside of this meeting, we're not doing it. And I've said all along when I joined this council to start with, which I've loved. I've loved and I've tried to put my 100% in this council. That when we're outside of this council, it doesn't matter who you are, who your politics are. You should be able to go for a cup of coffee together. You should be able to have a chat. You should be able to chat about what's on the agenda, about what's going on. Because that is part of being a councillor. We're here for the public. We're not here to stand up to be... this is me, I'm doing it, give me a round of applause. This is to help the public, to help Exmouth move on. And I feel that this council, there's so many of us, and I like you all, there's so many of us that I don't feel that when we come out of the council, we come out in a minute, we'll all go our different ways. There's no reason why we can't all get on anyway. It's not about politics, really. It's about helping this town to move on and get us somewhere in East Devon, move us on. And that's what I stand for. You know, I understand you've all got your reasons and what have you, but I don't feel, that's why I've not voted on this, because personally, I don't know how to put it really, but I'm surprised this has come up and I'm not prepared for it, but I thought I needed to say something because it's nearly 4 years that I've been a councillor and I've done my best in that 4 years and I like it. I like people, and I've done my best for Exmouth, but I don't feel outside of this chamber that everybody is friendly. So I'd just like to say thank you. I hope that's all right. There's nothing personal to anybody in particular, but, that's how I feel. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Aurora. Okay, do we need to propose one second for that
to
one?
To adopt the model councillor officer protocol, yes, please. No, we've proposed and seconded the pledge to sign up to the civility and respect work. But this is to adopt the councillor officer protocol as a policy for the council.
Councillor Bailey, is that proposed?
proposing?
Yes.
Thank you, Councillor Bailey. Do we have a seconder? Yes. Councillor Ollie Davey. Sorry, Tony Woodward.
Yep.
All in favour?
It's carried.
Any against? Any abstentions?
We don't like cream.
No, not chocolate.
Thank you. And then I think that brings the meeting to a close. Next meeting is 12th of December.